It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Jaguars your first listen every day, because it's your team every day. Your first listen of the day, rather. It's your team every day. I'm Tony Wiggins, your host of Locked On Jaguars. Sometimes on these shows, man, what I do is I like to reminisce, and I like to go back to things that I said on previous podcasts to try to tie it into. It's like I'm not hiding. I'm not throwing rocks and hiding my hands, right? One of the teams that I compared this to back when I saw the arsenal of picks, the salary cap space, where they were picking, and who was available on the market, and the situation with Urban being a college coach coming to the NFL, one of the things that I compared this to was Jimmy Johnson. And I did when he took over the Dallas Cowboys. And I did say that this would be a little bit different, because the Jaguars' 1-15 season was actually last year. And they were able to get a lot of resources because they were there because of the moves that they made that allowed them to have a lot of resources. And they had those resources because they were there. So the difference is Jimmy, when he took over, he had his 1-15 year in back in like 89. He had his 1-15 year in his first season. And I thought the Jaguars, in comparing and contrasting those two situations to see if they could turn this into something big, they had a little bit of a difference. And the difference was that Jimmy's first year was the 1-15 season, as opposed to Urban taking over after 1-15 season. But the other thing is, Jimmy's 1-15 season, he had Troy Aikman getting beat, battered, bruised, and scarred up, but learning during the 1-15 season, whereas Trevor Lawrence came in after the 1-15 season, just like Urban Meyer. So take you know, away from that whatever you want, but those were the subtle differences. But the similarities and the things that I had hoped for with the Jaguars was the fact that, one, you have a coach who, Jimmy Johnson was self-admitted that he was not the best X's and O's football coach on his staff, right? He said that he was a motivator, a personnel guy, and he could really, really get guys in shape, and he knew how to coach his coaches. Those were his strengths. Urban, to me, was the same guy. In fact, so much is so that when Urban got the job, one of the first names he mentioned as a guy who he talked to and was a great friend of his was Jimmy Johnson. I did not know that was going to happen. I did not know Jimmy Johnson was going to show up in training camp. I did not know that he was going to use Jimmy as a sort of advisor when I was making these comparisons. But as it turns out, he did. So it kind of tied into some of the things that I had discussed on a previous podcast. And so we're going to tie it in today a little bit. The fact that he sought counsel from a guy who was in that situation, from the fact that that he did look up to him and respected him, kind of made my point valid that this was a good situation. So why am I bringing this up? I'm bringing this up because I initially said that if they do this right, they'll have a dynasty, because they were set up, and it was sweet to me, because there were years and years, there was years and years of misery in this franchise, years and years and years of fans just suffering. And it would have been, really been sweet for me if, I want to say it's not, I don't want to say would have, but it can be really sweet for me is, after all of that suffering, you get years and years and years of prosperity on the football field. And first of all, excuse me, one of the things that I said was imperative for the Jaguars to ever be successful was to get a combination of a coach and quarterback. I still believe in the quarterback. At some point, I started doubting the coach. But as we look at the way they played the last few weeks, has that changed? Has any of that changed? It could possibly change if you watch the rest of this year. It's going to be a requirement that Urban at least stick in here for a few years, because Jimmy Johnson was only in Dallas for 4 or 5 years. He wasn't there forever, but he was there long enough to be cemented as a Pro Football Hall of Fame coach in that short period of time that he coached there. So, the combination of coach and quarterback, I'm more satisfied with the quarterback at this point than I am the coach. But the coach is pretty much doing exactly what I kind of said he would do. It's just showing up a little bit late. And at first, it seemed like he didn't know what he was doing. So I'll remind you, those are not old enough to remember this, that I recall when Jimmy Johnson came into the league with the Dallas Cowboys, Lawrence Taylor, one of the greatest players ever, said he was laughing at the stuff that he was running. Said it was too simple. Said it's like high school football. It's ABC stuff. Jimmy's a base 4-3 coach, run a four set with a fullback. And they weren't trying to trick anybody. They were lining up and seeing if they could just run past people. And I think from the outside looking in, Jimmy came to the conclusion that they weren't ever going to try to trick people. What they were going to do is they're going to run that same stuff. They were just going to get better players to do it. The difference I see so far with Jimmy Johnson and Urban Meyer is Jimmy would trim the fat without hesitation. Jimmy would not say that everybody was great. Jimmy would not call everybody a warrior. Jimmy would not say excellent, this person was, that person was the best I'd ever seen. Let me tell you what Jimmy Johnson did. Troy Aikman was already there when Jimmy got there. Jimmy used a first round supplementary pick on another quarterback, Steve Walsh. Do y'all remember? And kind of challenged Troy a little bit and kind of ticked people off. Jimmy brought in all kinds of offensive linemen, never rested on his laurels. They traded Herschel Walker, who at that time was their best player, and got a bunch of picks. And at the time, and I'm going to be honest with you, I happened to be in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and I watched the Vikings every single week when I was in the Air Force. Everyone thought Minnesota won the trade because back then, sending a bunch of draft picks, rookies were – they treated rookies back then like the way the NBA treats rookies, especially the guys coming straight out of high school. Sit on the end of the bench. That's the way they treated them back then. They treated them the way they treat freshmen in college. Like, you ain't going to help us right now. So Jimmy got all these draft picks, and believe it or not, Herschel Walker shows up in Minnesota, and he's running all over the place. And everybody thought that Minnesota won that deal until they realized how good at drafting Jimmy was. And once you realize how good at drafting and team building he was, you realize that Minnesota had made a grave mistake. Can the Jaguars be that good on a personnel perspective? I don't think so. And I think that's what's going to be the thing that undoes this for Urban Meyer, that he doesn't have the eye for talent that the guy I'm comparing him to does. I also don't think that he has the coaches on offense to ever be as good as those guys were. So I may have to find a new comp to go with, but I'm going to run through it, man. I'm going to show you guys, and for those that were young enough to remember, I'm going to show you the similarities between the two teams, and maybe it'll give you an idea that if that's where they're headed. And the only reason I'm doing that is because he sought counsel with Jimmy for, you know, he sat down with him. He's gone to the table with him, and he sat down with Jimmy. And they've talked about this kind of stuff. So if that's what he's looking at, so I'm going to compare it to them, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to go coaches and then offense and defense. And the defense is going to be the last one. That's the dessert, because that's actually think where I think they are very, very similar in style, in productivity, and in makeup from the teams that I discussed. So we'll talk about that more here on a Tuesday edition of Locked On Jaguars here in just a second, after I tell you about the things that I like in life, where we're all bound for different things. With beachbound.com vacations, you could be bound for adventure, bound for passion, bound for discovery, or bound for togetherness, bound for immersion, bound for rejuvenation, or maybe you may be bound for encountering the unexpected. Personally, when I'm at a beach resort, I'm bound to end up at the poolside bar with a Mai Tai and a nice cigar, maybe creating my own taco flight. As long as I've got a good view and my drink and my smoke in hand, I'll be as happy as I can be. And with beachbound.com, you can find the perfect beach vacation for you, no matter what you are looking for. What are you bound for? Visit beachbound.com today. All right, so we're going to run through this little comparison that I made and give a little bit of a progress report on where we think we are. Remember, this is not just me justifying how I felt about what they should do, but it kind of lined up with what they were doing in terms of Jimmy Johnson and Urban Meyer being friends, and Jimmy coming into camp, and Urban saying he's asking Jimmy all of these questions. I don't know if he's talked to him since the beginning of the season, but if he did talk to him when he took the job, I'm sure he took some ideas from how he wanted to do things. And one of the things that he said that Jimmy told him was you had to build a great staff. So let's look at the staff that Urban has built and see if it's one that can actually stay together. Defensively, let's go ahead and let's get the dessert out front. We're gonna eat the dessert first, okay? I was worried a little bit about Joe Cullen and some of the experience that he may not have had on the back end. But I don't know where defensive coordinators always come. Some of them are defensive line coaches. Some of them are linebackers coaches. Some of the defensive backs coaches. I think we were a little bit afraid around here because the last guy Todd watched was a defensive line guy who they, you know, always seemed to struggle with stuff on the back end. But to their credit, the Jaguars have over the last few weeks have really, really shown that once the chemistry got down and once they started to understand what Joe Cullen wanted and how they wanted to do it, that they can play fast on defense. They can be big and physical and contest balls in the secondary, that their linebackers can fill, especially with the big guys up front, keeping blockers off of the linebackers. The linebackers can really flow to the ball, and that they can disrupt the passer. They can rush the passer with their base, and they don't necessarily have to go to a sub package to do it. But when they do get you in long down and distance situations, and they go to those sub packages, those sub packages are really showing up. Even guys like Taven Bryant, who hadn't done anything in the time he's been here, playing as well as he's playing now. So that's the one area where they're very, very similar. Can Josh Gordon continue to be as dominant as he's been in the last 3 weeks? It's been Charles Haley like the last 2 or 3 weeks. He has to obviously continue that. The Cowboys never had, and this is the pre-Deion Sanders Cowboys now. Remember, Jimmy Johnson never coached Deion Sanders, and he never coached Larry Allen. So keep that in mind when we talk about the DBs and the offensive line. But Dallas did have safeties that they got to fix the safety spot. I like Jenkins. He's solid. But Dallas had, whether it was Washington or James Washington, Darren Woodson, Dallas always had safeties that could come down and really, really, they could thump and they could cover. So from that perspective, I don't think they've kind of arrived when it comes to, and they traded for another safety from the Steelers, and Jimmy said it was Thomas Everett. Then when they got Thomas Everett, and then they had Gant, they had guys that could really run and really hit and were very, very physical that punished you. So I'm not sure with Dewey Wingard, we have to see more from Andre Sisko. For them to get to where they really want to be, I still think they need to add a dynamic player in the middle of that field. Or if Sisko's going to be it, he's going to be it. But if he's not, he can be the third guy. He can be the third guy because for a long time, Darren Woodson was the third guy in Dallas. The corners were like Kevin Smith and Brown, who was really a journeyman. So right now the corners that the Jags are playing. Now, mind you, this comes with understanding that the game is a little bit different now and the game's played a little bit different. But the similarities are strikingly similar. The running backs were fast guys who were undersized, Darren Smith and guy Dixon Edwards, guys that really weren't superstars outside of their play in Dallas, but they fit the scheme. The thing about the Dallas team back then is the defense could really fly because I'm going to surprise you with the offense. They were not fast. And there's been so much talk about speed. So Darrell Bevell, let me get to Darrell Bevell. Darrell Bevell is on par with Butch Davis. He's on par with Dave Wannstedt. And both of those guys, by the way, have a background in the defensive line, and so did Jimmy Johnson. And I'm really, really impressed with Darrell Bevell as of this point. And he's basically the head coach of the defense because Urban Meyer's expertise is offense. So from that being said, yeah. They're solid. They're good. They need to still continue to add more pieces because you always want to be great and you always want to have your style of play. So now when you know what you do, you can go out and add players that fit, just like Baltimore always did. And Urban has talked about Baltimore. So it's the same thing. Let's go to the offense. This is where we're going to have a little bit of space. Troy, I'm not talking about them guys being as good. Don't hit me with that because, no, it's different. But Trevor Lawrence is about where Troy Aikman was his second year. This is about where they were. He's a little bit of a different player, but this is what, you know, you kind of have, you know. And I'm sure that when Urban talked to Jimmy Johnson, he talked to him about having a young quarterback and doing this thing from scratch. The wide receivers. DJ Chark could have been the Alvin Harper of this team. And what I mean by that is not a great player, but a tall player who knew how to run nine routes and knew how to run those posts. And that's what Alvin Harper did. And he didn't have great stats. He didn't have all of that, but he made plays whenever he had to make plays. And the thing that's missing is the stud receiver on the other side, Michael Irvin. Michael Irvin was basically D-Hop back in those days. And Michael Irvin didn't necessarily run, but he knew how to run. He was as good as guys like D-Hop and guys like Davante Adams are now. That's how good Michael Irvin was. And I know people may not remember, but that's exactly – he was that guy, just like that. And he was extremely good. The running back, James Robinson, who do everybody always says he reminds you of somebody. Who is that somebody? You got it. Now, the other guy is the all-time leading rusher in NFL history and had a little bit of something else to him and was always a number one pick and was the high school player of the year. So from that perspective, James Robinson isn't similar to Emmitt. But style of play, he kind of is. He's kind of the guy that can give you some of those same things. And maybe not in the passing game the way Emmitt did, but he's kind of that kind of running back, right? So let's just say Travis Etienne ends up being the kind of dude that can supplement that, and you put them both together and maybe you got one Emmitt Smith, so that's fine. You know, it's pretty good. Dan Arnold. Is he Jay Novacek? He ain't Jay Novacek when Novacek was Novacek, but his path was similar to the one of Novacek because Novacek was a guy that Jimmy just picked up from the Arizona Cardinals. Just picked him up. Wasn't nothing special. Picked him up. And then he turned out to be special because he was a good fit for the team. Here's the difference. And I know you guys are waiting on me to say this. Here's the difference. Offensive line. Jaguars have a solid offensive line. Cowboys had a great offensive line. The players themselves, some of them went to the Pro Bowl, but it wasn't that. It was they were big and nasty, and they had quick feet, and they had a great coach, and they were just nasty, and they kept changing parts. You know, he get Kevin Gogan, and then he go out and get Mark Tuinei, and then they got Derek Kennard to come in, and they drafted Williams on the right side, and this was before Larry Allen, and they had Nate Newton. They just kept, you know, they had seven guys that were just nasty, mean, really, really good players. So this is why I always say you can always be better and you can always be dominant. Just imagine any team. One of the things I always wanted my teams to have is a great quarterback, but then I want them to have just the nastiest offensive line that wasn't just solid, that wasn't just decent, but that would, if we needed them to, just take the damn game over. If we needed them to, just take the game over. All right, in segment three, I'm going to mention the part that I really think needs the most help, and that is Darrell Bevell. I think this is the part that actually needs the most help because the Dallas Cowboys had a guy named Norv Turner that is one of the greatest offensive coaches in the history of the National Football League. This is where I think we kind of go sideways a little bit, and not that he's terrible, but that Dallas had an advantage that Norv Turner knew how to get the best out of everyone. We'll discuss that more here in the last and final segment on Locked On the Jaguars. After I tell you guys how to save you some money on gas, I'm talking about cash back galore with the GetUpside app. GetUpside is the app that you can find on Google Play or in your app store. And when you get it, you download it and you use the promo code Touchdown. When you use that promo code Touchdown, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get a bonus 25 cents per gallon off on your first fill up. So that will be up to 50 cents cash back because you're going to be making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time you fill up anyway. But when you use it for the first time with the promo code, you're going to get an additional 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using the GetUpside app. Just download it, get the Touchdown promo code put in, and you're going to start saving money. It's going to stay in your account until you're ready to put it back into your bank account, your PayPal, your eGift, or your Amazon card and other brands. Then you just request it, and they send it to you, whatever area that you wanted to go to. But it's the GetUpside app. It's GetUpside. Touchdown is the promo code to start saving you some money right now on gas. All right, man, third and final segment here on Locked On Jaguars. I want to get into the part where when we're trying to compare the Cowboys of the early 90s to the Jaguars and their build and their ascension, that there were some tough times in Dallas. There were some hard days. There were some things that didn't go right, of course, off the field. And, you know, it's not all sunshine and rainbows, but when you look back at three titles in 4 years or three titles in 5 years, it looks kind of like a good thing. So can the Jaguars do that? It's a little bit different these days. But one thing they have to do is they have to have an identity on offense. The Cowboys knew exactly who they were on offense. And they did a really good job of training up Troy Aikman and finding the right pieces that go around him. When you talk about the offensive line, when you talk about the running backs, the stud wide receiver, a very tight end that knew his role, another guy on the outside that knew what his role was. And then they started supplementing that with guys like Kevin Williams. And you think about this. And when you talk about weapons and you talk about draft choices and you talk about all of those things, imagine this. The Cowboys also drafted Jimmy Smith in the second round, who's one of the greatest wide receivers in NFL history and the best top two football player in Jaguars history. Now, he never really was able to get it right in Dallas because he got hurt, and then he had to leave. And then, fortunately for Jacksonville fans, he was available some years later for them to pick up. But just think about this. They knew how good he was when they picked him. Could you imagine that when Alvin Harper left to go to Tampa, they just plugged and played Jimmy freaking Smith on the other side of Michael Irvin. And they had Kevin Williams in the slot. And they had Kelvin Martin in the slot, two fast guys that provided some spark off the bench. This is the way the Jaguars have to approach this. The Jaguars have to first get an offensive identity, whether it's with Darrell Bevell or someone else. And there's a lot of speculation that there might be someone else in the future. But they also could probably still upgrade the offensive line. They need to get a stud receiver, or in this day and age, or two, because now we're unsure about DJ Chark. See, your other guy can't be, I think your number one has to just be a great football player. If he's fast, he's fast. If he's not, he's not, but he's a great player. But if he's not that burner, your other guy can't be Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones would have to be your third receiver, in my opinion, if they're ever going to get to that point. Agnew, ATN, and guys like that, those are your Kevin Williams, Kelvin Martin type slot guys that are game changers that do things. You got a bell cow running back. They need a stud wide receiver, maybe two. They might need wide receiver one, wide receiver two at this point. I do think, and I'm not going to keep beating you guys over the head, at some point, I want to be great up front, not just solid. There's some ways that you can do that. And I think that's probably more available to you than guys that score touchdowns. And that's the guys that score touchdowns are real hard to get. The other guys aren't. All you got to do is just, you be in a position, you just draft or sign one of them. And it's not sexy and it doesn't win press conferences, but it's the thing that makes your team better. One of the guys I was looking at in free agency is Wyatt Teller from Cleveland. Well, Cleveland got smart, and last week they gave him 4 years, $56 million contract extension, so you can take him off. That's a young interior football player, 310 pounds, and playing guard, can do all types of stuff, and he's 26, and now he's off the market. So it gets more and more difficult. You got to either hit on it in the draft or sign an older player and pay him the money. But the difference in these two teams will come with the offensive identity. I think that's the part that's left. And the continued development of Trevor, along with how well this front office can build talent. And one thing about that Jimmy Johnson team with him and George Ackles and all of those guys, they knew talent. They had come from the college ranks, just like Urban Meyer, and they had a beat on all of these guys. But they also knew how it would translate to the NFL. So in comparison with these two teams, this is my progress report on what I thought from back in the day with how the Jaguars and what model they could use to build. So it's yet to be determined. I think the rest of this year and how they play will determine how close they are to being able to have that sort of ascension. We thank you for making us your first listen here on Locked On Jaguars every day, as always. But we also want you to make Peacock and Williamson your second listen. The Peacock and Williamson podcast is like the flagship podcast of this network. And those guys do a great job because Brian Peacock is an NFL analyst and Matt Williamson is a former NFL scout, man, and they break it down like no other. So check out the Peacock and Williamson podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe. Also, remember, we're free on all platforms. Check it out on YouTube. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and that like button. And we thank you again for joining us here on Locked On Jaguars. More this week with the Jags as they get ready for the 49ers. Of course, I'll probably have Crockett or Peacock on the 49ers crossover with me later on this week. So I'm looking forward to that. Until then, you guys take care and continue to take care of each other. And hopefully the Jaguars can find a way to beat San Francisco this Sunday.